A story is told about Abraham Lincoln's response to a sermon by his friend Reverend Phineas Gurley of the New York Avenue Presbyterian Church. It is said that the president often slipped out of the White House on Wednesday evenings to listen to the sermons of Dr. Gurley. As he desired to come and go unobserved, he would enter through a side door in the church, take a seat in the minister's study, and prop the door open wide enough to hear Dr. Gurley. One evening on the walk home, the aide asked Mr. Lincoln his appraisal of that night's sermon. The president thoughtfully replied, "The content was excellent. He delivered with elegance. He obviously put work into the message." "Then you thought it was an excellent sermon?" questioned the aide. "No," Lincoln answered. "But you said that the content was excellent. It was delivered with eloquence, and it showed how hard he'd worked." The aide pressed. "That's true," Lincoln said. "But Dr. Gurley forgot the most important ingredient. He forgot to ask us to do something great." Typically, my Shabbat Shuvah drashos center around tshuva in general. How do we return to God, or how do we return to our true selves? What are the best steps to self-achievement or to achieve self-improvement, etc.? This year, though, I wanted to ask you to do something great. One particular thing. This year, I want us all to focus on one particular midah, a midah that has challenged us this past year unlike any prior year. During the pandemic, we have been tested in ways that we as a society have never been tested before. One of the ways that we have been tested is whether we have been too judgmental of others during these trying times. I mean, people are too judgmental these days. I can tell just by looking at them. In all seriousness, we have been very judgmental as a society. This one has been overly strict for no reason. This one is not masking and is endangering my life. Who are you to ask me if I have been vaccinated? Why don't you just send in your vaccination card? Why are you entering grocery stores unmasked? Why are you looking down at me for not masking when there is no legal mandate to mask? And then there are the judgments about the kids. I have statistics to prove that you are foolish, and you have statistics to prove that I am foolish. We have made so many judgments of others during the past year. Now, many of us are familiar with the Mishnaic statement of Heve Dan es kol ha'adam l'kaf schus, that we should judge others favorably. But is that really what we are supposed to do? Let's say, for example, I believe, based on scientific evidence, that indeed we all should vaccinate, and someone decides not to vaccinate. Am I obligated to judge that person favorably? Are we truly required not to judge others? I read a beautiful quote about the value of judgmental behavior. Healthy judgmental behavior is a collective pulling together to call out actions that could be harmful. Dr. Adam Moore, an Edinburgh University psychology lecturer who specializes in moral judgment, says that judgmental behavior serves many functions in human society. But among the most critical is the purpose of sharing information about priorities and concerns, and to rally a community together in a coordinated fashion to deal with possible threats. Does Judaism not believe in that? Is there something called healthy judgmental behavior in halacha? Or are we always required to be done l'kaf schus? And what about how we relate to others in our community who don't share the same religious values as we do? Our child comes to us one day and says her friend acts a certain way or speaks a certain way or dresses a certain way that you find inappropriate. What does it mean to judge the friend favorably in this context? Shouldn't we tell our child that her friend is wrong? Because if we don't, then our child might act that way or speak that way or dress that way. But isn't that being judgmental? Is there something called healthy judgmental behavior in halacha? Or are we always required to be dan l'kaf schus? And I think that the answer to this question is critical for how we function as individuals and as a society. And if we are thinking about tshuva at this time, on how we can do better this year more than ever, I think we need to think about how we do better specifically in the area of being judgmental of others, when it's appropriate, if ever, to be judgmental, and how mastering this midah is so critical to our spiritual well-being, which we so desperately seek at this time of year. Essentially, I'd like to ask two questions at the outset. One, must we always judge someone favorably, especially if doing so may encourage harmful behavior? And two, why are we required to judge people favorably? If they engage in questionable behavior, can't we simply take a position that we are not judging them at all? So let's study some of the sources dealing with this important midah and try to address these questions. Now, in the context of court cases, the Torah states in Vayikra Yotes Tesvav, Vitzedek Tishpot Abisecha, we must judge our friend with tzedek, with righteousness. The Gemara in Shavuos, Daf Lamed Amud Beis, provides two different explanations for this commandment. First, the Gemara states that in court, everyone is treated equally. Every litigant sits or stands, and every litigant must receive the same opportunity as the other litigant to present evidence. Treat the litigants equally. But then the Gemara provides an alternative explanation of this phrase, judge another favorably. Now, this doesn't seem to be a requirement of Beis Din. This is a general requirement to judge others favorably, and if it's based on a pasuk, it seems like it's an obligation. However, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph Mishnah Vav, includes this statement with other statements of Aseh Lecha Rav U'Knei Lecha Chaver, of finding a Rebbe and a friend. And those statements don't seem to be obligations. They seem to be nice behaviors. As such, in trying to come up with answers to my two questions, must we always judge favorably, and why must we judge at all, I have a third question. Are we required to judge others favorably, or is it simply a nice behavior but not strictly required? Now, the Gemara in Shabbos states that if we judge others favorably, then God will judge us favorably. Again, this doesn't seem like a command, just meritorious behavior. This is the Gemara in Shabbos, Dav Kuf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. But before we conclude our survey of Mishnaic or Talmudic statements about judging others, we need to study two more sources. First, the Maseches Sanhedrin, Maseches Derech Eretz, which was written after the Talmud was completed, contains many statements by Tanaim and Amoraim. In Pirkei Ben Azai, Perek Gimel Halacha Gimel, it tells us that we should honor people like Rabbi Gabliel, but we should view them as thieves. And the Mishnah tells the story of how Rabbi Yeshua engaged in this practice, and he specifically protected himself by not viewing another favorably. What then is the limitation on this obligation or good practice? Finally, one more Talmudic source of note. We are told in Maseches Bracha of Daf Yotes Amud Aleph that if we see a Torah scholar commit a sin at night, we should not think of him badly at night. We should not think of him badly in the morning. Rather, we should believe that indeed he repented. The Gemara teaches us that we should judge a Torah scholar favorably, even if there is an indication otherwise. So let's summarize. There seems to be either an obligation or a meritorious practice of judging others favorably, and especially when it comes to a Torah scholar who sinned, but we also have the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that we shouldn't trust others. So where does this all leave us? When should we be judgmental, and when shouldn't we be judgmental? Now the Rambam tries to make sense of these different sources, and in Hilchos Deos, Perikei Halacha Zayin, he essentially takes the position that judging others favorably is one of the defining characteristics of a Torah scholar, although it is not required. However, that's not the only thing that the Rambam writes. In his Sefer HaMitzvos, in Mitzvah Kuf Ayin Zayin, the Rambam writes that the mitzvah of Betzedek Tishpot Amisech includes the obligation to judge one's fellow favorably. That is a mitzvah and not limited to a Torah scholar. So how do we understand the Rambam's position? Well, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Vav, the Mishnah of Hevei Danes Kol Adam L'Kaf Zchus, the Rambam distinguishes between three different types of people: a well-known righteous person, a well-known wicked person, and someone who is unknown to you. For a well-known righteous person like the Gemara in Brachos, we should give him the benefit of the doubt, even if we think that he may have done something wrong. We should assume that he made a singular mistake and regretted it and repented. For a well-known wicked person, we should not give him the benefit of the doubt, even if it seems that what he is doing is good. Rather, we must be wary of him. When the Mishnah states that we should judge someone favorably, this refers to someone who is unknown to us. If he does something that could be interpreted as either positive or negative, judge him favorably and do not think of him as having done something wrong. Now, the Chafetz Chaim, in his Sefer on Lashon Hara, when he discusses the mitzvah saseh associated with not speaking Lashon Hara in Klal Gimel, and in his commentary in his opening, his Psicha on the Ber Maim Chaim, his commentary on Asin Os Gimel, he expands on the Rambam's distinctions, and he says that there aren't three types of people, rather, there are four types of people. For righteous people, you always should judge them favorably. That's the Gemara in Brachos. For wicked people, you don't need to judge them favorably. For someone who is unknown to you, the Torah cannot command you to judge them favorably. Rather, it's a meritorious act. When you see someone and he is not known, a known wicked person, have a donas kol adam l'kaf schus, judge him favorably. That's the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. That's the Gemara in Shabbos. It's a good quality. However, if it's amisecha, v'tzedek tishbot amisecha, if it's amisecha, if it's a friend, someone you know, you don't know that he's necessarily a righteous person, but you don't know that he's a wicked person. He's a friend of yours. Then there is a requirement to judge him favorably, even if it is more likely that the negative interpretation is correct. Now that we have a basic understanding of the what, we need to understand the why. Now that we understand that if someone is righteous, always judge him favorably. If someone is known to be a decent person, we should judge him favorably if he engages in behavior that could be interpreted either way. If someone is unknown to you, it is meritorious to judge him favorably. If he is a known wicked person, we should not judge him favorably. The question is why? If someone commits what seems to be a sin, why should I judge him favorably? And if I judge him favorably, then maybe I will commit the sin. After all, if he did it and I think that he's a good person, then maybe I can also do it. And what about the Mishnah on Maseches Derech Eretz that Rabbi Yeshua said you should always suspect someone? How do we reconcile that passage with the other passages that we learned? So I think that the key to understanding the Midah of being Dan Lekaf Schos is to understand that this Halacha or Midah Tova is completely unrelated to protecting ourselves or to evaluating a particular behavior. I am allowed to protect myself from thievery even though I don't think that the other person is a thief. As a general rule, I should assume that other people are good people, but I may protect myself in case I am wrong. Just because I think that most other people are good people, I am still allowed to lock my door at night just in case I'm wrong. That is what the Mishnah Maseches Derech Eretz is teaching me. Additionally, even if I think that a person is not engaging in sin, I see him walk into a non-kosher restaurant, believing that he only ate the fruit platter or only got a Coke, in no way indicates that I agree that you can eat non-kosher food. In other words, the halacha of judging someone favorably doesn't mean that I think that the behavior that you seem to be doing is correct. Maybe you're not doing what I think you're doing. Or maybe there's a legitimate reason why you're doing what you are doing. The behavior that I see on its face is incorrect, so I shouldn't do it. But maybe there are other facts about which I am not familiar. See, often we are judgmental simply because we are insecure about ourselves and we criticize others to make ourselves feel good. Being dan lekaf schus means that I have clear values and I convey to my children what those values are, and it simply means that I should try to think you are a good person, engaging in good behavior, even if it doesn't seem so. We should relate like this to all people, whether they are righteous or average people, or even people of unknown character. If someone is known to be specifically wicked, then I think the point of the Rambam and the Chafetz Chaim is that even if he does something good, don't associate with him because maybe you will be influenced by him. Don't say about a wicked person, he's not so bad. Yeah, he's a known thief, but he gives a lot of tzedakah. Stay far away from him. Protect yourself from being influenced by him. But other than that unique and rare situation, judge people favorably. But why? Why should we judge favorably? Why should we give people the benefit of the doubt? Why judge at all? Who are we to judge? Why isn't the message, don't judge if you're not sure what the person did? Why is the message, judge favorably? So as we shift to this question, the question of why, let's turn to the commentary of Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch on the Pasuk, B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha, and Perek Yutez, Pasuk Tezvav, of Parshas Kedoshim. See, Rav Hirsch asked the following question. It seems that B'tzedek Tishpot Amisecha is a source of two seemingly contradictory laws. On the one hand, this statement obligates a judge to issue his verdict on the basis of absolute justice in strict accordance with the law. On the other hand, from the same statement, we learn that outside the court of justice, we are required to judge others favorably, meaning we should try to find justifications for their actions. In court, tzedek means we must be impartial and ignore the character of the litigants. But out of court, tzedek means we must do just the opposite. Rav Hirsch explains that in court, tzedek requires us to disregard the personality of the actor and consider only the act itself. However, out of court, we should not be quick to condemn someone because the Mishnah and Avos tells us, Al tadin es chavercha ad she tagia limkomo. Don't judge your friend until you have been placed in a similar situation. Now, the reason for this is that the role of judges is to clarify the unique circumstances of each case, but it is impossible to do so outside the courtroom. A court evaluates all facts that are presented until witnesses are cross-examined and until all supporting evidence is produced. The average onlooker does not have the luxury of doing this, and therefore, the ability to condemn another outside of a court is almost impossible. Just as a judge would not decide to convict someone without having all the facts before him, the average onlooker, which lacks so much information, cannot adequately assess the situation. If I do not know all the facts, then I must view others favorably because I have no justification to do otherwise. Now, there is something very compelling about Rav Hirsch's perspective, but the truth is that his perspective only teaches us not to judge because we don't have all the available information. The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos has a higher standard. It tells us to judge favorably. But why? If the concern is that we don't have all available information, then we should simply not judge. Why are we required to actively judge favorably? Well, maybe the Torah is just responding to our natural tendencies. This is what we do. We judge people. It's natural to judge, so the Torah is telling us how to judge. Or maybe there is a religious mandate for us to judge others favorably because it reflects a religious value. But what is that value? Rav Yosef Yaivitz, a 16th century Spanish thinker, wrote a commentary on Pirkei Avos, and in it he wrote that judging favorably is gemilus chasadim she'ein lamala mimena. It is an act of kindness for which there is nothing greater than it. We have a responsibility to do good to other people, and that is true not just in action, but also in attitude. It's a chesed to view other people favorably, even when they engage in questionable behavior. And not only is it an act of chesed for the other person, but think about the impact of your favorable judgment on that person's self-esteem. Rav Nachman of Breslov in Likutei Maran Torah Resh Pei Beis writes that the way in we look at others can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. A positive outlook on another can actually raise that individual's level and empower him or her to be the good person we can see in him or her. And this can apply not just to average people. We can even transform people who may be classified as Rishaim Gemurim into good people by our approach towards them. I've seen students misbehave in class, and I've seen teachers have different responses to the misbehavior. I've seen a teacher tell a student, I know you can't help yourself, so I won't punish you because I have mercy on you. And I've seen another teacher tell a student, you're going to have a consequence for your behavior. And I believe that your behavior is not reflective of who you are. And I know you can and will do better. Now, the student initially is happy with the first teacher because there is no consequence. But the response of the second teacher is far superior, because the second response reflects the fact that the teacher believes in the student, and the student will be motivated to live up to the teacher's standards. Sometimes the best kind of mussar to help someone improve is specifically when we don't criticize, but when we judge the person favorably and say that we believe in him or her. And the Sefer HaChinuch has a different approach as to the religious ethic behind judging favorably. In Mitzvah Reish Lamed Hei, the Sefer HaChinuch explains that the main purpose of judging others favorably is to create shalom for the benefit of society. A strong society is one when we give the others the benefit of the doubt. A society wherein everyone is judging everyone negatively is one without trust, one that hampers cooperation out of fear that maybe he or she is only cooperating with me now to advance his or her own interests, and when the time is right, he or she will stab me in the back. Isn't that, to some extent, what is going on in this country, where there is so much distrust between liberals and conservatives, where each side takes every opportunity to tear down the other side because this midah is simply absent in this country? Today is the 20th anniversary of 9/11, and I still remember how unified this country was in the aftermath of 9/11, how we weren't Democrats or Republicans, we were just Americans. But for a variety of reasons, we have changed as a society, and unfortunately, we have become a non-Dan Lakavskos society. A Dan Lakavskos society is a society built on trust and cooperation, and that is one that we Torah Jews seek. But there is another and perhaps most important reason why we must do more than simply not judge others, but we must affirmatively judge others favorably. And that is to develop an ayin tova, a good eye. What does a good eye mean? So the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Perek Beis, Mishnah Tes, Rabbi Eliezer ben Hyrcanus advised that the proper path to develop is an ayin tova, a good eye. And the classic definition of a good eye is that you are not jealous of someone else. But the Maharal in Derech Chaim explains on this Mishnah that having an ayin tova constantly has so much impact on our lives because it means that a person should look well upon others, wish them well, and be happy in their successes. To have an ayin tova, a good eye, means that we train our eyes to see the good. Not only does it involve satisfaction with our possessions, but it also includes the ability to see the good in others, to see beyond the surface and try to find the good or redeeming qualities in anyone and everyone. Along these lines, the Sfas Emes, in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, points out that we are not instructed to ignore a person's actions. Nevertheless, we are obligated to love the person no less and try to understand what would lead him to act in a negative manner. He points out that the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos states that we should judge kol ha'adam and not merely kol adam. We should judge the whole person, kol ha'adam. We cannot look at one act in isolation. Rather, a person's entire personality must be considered, his background, what he's gone through. Rather than being quick to vilify others for their behavior, we should realize that there's often a greater story. And we should seek that out and look for any redeeming qualities for that person and work as hard as we can to view the person in a favorable light. This is what it means to have an ayin tova. And perhaps this approach can better explain the Gemara Maseches Shabbos that states that if we judge others favorably, then we will be judged favorably by God. It can't mean that if we give someone the benefit of the doubt that we will be given the benefit of the doubt by God. After all, there are no doubts by God. God knows everything. Rather, it means that if we have an ayin tova and look for the good in everyone and find the redeeming qualities in everyone, then God will look for our redeeming qualities as well and not focus on our negative qualities. It means that we recognize the near good in everyone while being realistic that weaknesses may interrupt someone else's striving for spiritual success. Thinking like this changes our way of thinking. It challenges us to look for the inner beauty in everyone. The great Hasidic master Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev, was known as the great defender of the Jewish people. He would always try to intercede on behalf of the Jewish people in front of God. Some might view his actions as foolish, that he sees Jews sinning and he's still defending them. He's ignoring reality. But that was not the case. Rav Levi Yitzchak of Berditchev had an ayin tova. He did not forget about the negative behaviors of his fellow Jews, but he chose not to focus on those acts. Rather, he looked to identify one good aspect of their actions, and that is what he focused on. Having an ayin tova towards others, finding that redeeming quality and believing in other people ultimately means that we are much more introspective and we look to make changes in our perspective and our own behavior rather than condemn others. Many of us walk around so disappointed with others, with society, when in fact, it's all a matter of perspective. And it's up to us to look for the beauty in others. G.D. Forrest, an associate dean at Yale Law School, was once sitting in the back row of a faculty meeting. There was a guy with a big head in the front row who was blocking her view of the presenter. The big head was one of those friendly ones, she said. You know, the kind tilting first to one side and then another in an attentive way, driving me nuts. I kept tilting in the reverse to accommodate. He'd tilt left, and I'd tilt right. Then he'd tilt right, and I'd swivel left. I could feel myself getting aggravated. Suddenly, it occurred to me that I was completely capable of moving my chair instead of getting further annoyed. I did, she said. Problem solved. Sometimes we get so fixated on everyone else who is doing this wrong or that wrong. And if we just decide to have an ayin tova, if we just change our thinking and try to see others in a favorable light so that we don't get annoyed and we adapt, then we will live much happier lives. If there is a midah that is important for us to work on in the coming year individually and as a society, it is the midah of being dan l'kav zchus. Unfortunately, because of our binary thinking, we tend to assume the worst of others, whether it's because of their political views or their religious views or their views on COVID precautions and restrictions. And when others engage in acts that are objectively bad, we tend to write them off. Many of us may have trouble sticking to our religious values while judging favorably those who may have different values. We have difficulty disagreeing with their behaviors while still admiring them for other reasons. And sometimes we may think that if we stand up for what is right and are fiercely critical of others, then we are fulfilling the will of God. After all, we are standing for the truth. But let us read this passage from Rabbi Alexander Ziskin in Yesod V'Shoresh Avoda, Perek Aleph, Simon Ches. He says the following. He says that Habore, Ratzon Habore Yisparach, it's the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sheyelamdu Sanegoria, B'tmidus Albonav, Apisha She'ein Osi Ratzono Shalmakom. It's God's desire that people will constantly find merit in his children, even if they don't follow his will. This is like a father whose son does not act as he should. Any intelligent person will understand that the father wants people to judge his son positively and plead his case. Vaday im yishma meiza adam shalom aralav shlim elav chova davrazel apov al chamaso. If a father hears someone finding fault with his son, he'll become upset. Kol shekein ba'bori yisparach shiratzono shiyomudu albanav sanegorim v'ladunos sam bitmidus l'kafschus. Certainly then, this is the case with regard to the Creator. He desires that all people constantly judge his children favorably. God is our Father, and our Father wants people to judge all his children favorably. It is the will of God that we stand for values, but it is equally the will of God that we love each other and constantly judge each other favorably. Live a life constantly strengthening that Ayin Tova. After all, isn't that God's message to Yonah that we read on Yom Kippur, that even though Yonah felt that the tshuva, the repentance of the people of Nineveh, was insincere, nevertheless, we should judge their tshuva favorably? Yom Kippur is not just about us doing tshuva, but it's about having an Ayin Tova towards the tshuva and the behavior of others, so that we can truly fulfill the mandate of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, that in Yom Kippur we are like angels in our unity and shalom with one another. If we want our shalom, our achdus, to be real and not fake on Yom Kippur, then it must be predicated on the attitude of being dan l'kav schus, reflecting the midah of Ayin Tova. So practically, how do we do it? How do we develop this character of Ayin Tova, which manifests itself through judging others favorably? First, stop making so many negative moral evaluations of others. That should be the exception as opposed to the rule. That should almost never happen. Second, change your language from saying this person is morally corrupt to this action is wrong. Third, once we focus on actions rather than people, and think about context, what may have caused him or her to act that way? Did you ever excuse yourself by saying, that's the way I was raised, what can I do? All right, so I'm not perfect. So why don't you say that about the other person? Saying that is not an excuse to continue negative behavior, but it's a way of thinking to help us view the other person in a different light, to replace our anger at the other person with empathy for someone who does not see that what he or she is doing is wrong. And fourth, try to be positive. Try to look for the good. Try to find that person's redeeming qualities. Again, if we are confident in our values, how we view the person should not impact in the slightest whether we believe the action was correct or incorrect. This year, I am asking you to do something great, one particular thing. Work on that Ayin Tova, which manifests itself through judging others favorably through these four steps. Negative moral evaluations are a rarity. Focus on the action, not the person. Think about context. And just try to be a positive person. Practice these behaviors again and again and again. And if we are successful in this critical midah, we will be performing a chesed to those around us and raise their self-esteem, and we will become individuals who exude simchas hachayim. And in doing so, we will transform our lives and those around us.